This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Scientists know there are parts of the world where earthquakes are likely to happen, but what they can't do is predict just where or when. 3 months ago today, an earthquake shook the town of Parkfield on the San Andreas Fault in California. Unlike this weekend's quake in the Indian Ocean, it caused little damage, but it is the focus of intense scientific interest. That's because Parkfield has become a natural laboratory for researchers trying to understand and predict earthquake activity. NPR's Richard Harris has the story.
To the untrained eye, Parkfield looks like peaceful cow country, with oak trees gracing rolling hills and deep green pastures in the flats. But this valley has tales to tell if you know where to look. This valley marks the border between two massive continental plates, the North American plate and the Pacific plate. The shifting of these plates makes this earthquake country. In fact, quakes strike Parkfield quite regularly, 1922, 1934, 1966, and now 2004. Peter Mallon from Duke University hops out of a car along Shalom Valley Road and points out a disjointed irrigation pipe jutting out of the ground at an awkward angle.
See where the other end of it is over there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The night before the 1966 earthquake, this pipe got severed and was leaking out onto the road. And about 9 hours later, the Parkfield earthquake took place.
This pipe break was just one hint that quakes on the San Andreas might be preceded by subtle warning signs. So about 20 years ago, earthquake scientists started installing all nature of sensors along this small stretch of the fault.
We're going to just hike along the fault here.
As we walk along the sunken trace, we glimpse various peculiar objects, white cylinders that sit on either side of the fault, domes the size of mini refrigerators out in pastures, and more.
You see the antenna and the white shiny box up there?
Yeah.
There's a tensor strain meter up there. There's one of my old shallow borehole seismometers up there. There's a volumetric strain meter.
And there may be more, he says. There are so many different instruments scattered throughout the valley, it's hard to keep up with what's where. All of these instruments sprang to life on September 28th, when the valley was rocked by a 6.0 magnitude quake. The data bounced up to satellites and down to distant labs. The scars of that quake are still evident.
Okay, one fracture here, another fracture here.
Mallon bends down and picks up a stick to drop it into one of the cracks, which cross the fault diagonally.
Are you ready?
He lets go.
Only about 2.5, 3 feet down.
But don't be fooled, Mallon says. The cracking extends down into the earth for a few miles. In fact, one of the big problems in understanding earthquakes has been that it's hard to figure out what's going on way down there where the quakes originate. Mallon is part of an ambitious project to explore that hidden terrain. They're drilling a hole deep underground right into the heart of the San Andreas Fault.
Okay, Elon, go ahead.
Up the road a bit, this work is already well underway.
Just a little higher.
The hole already extends more than 10,000 feet into the ground. Drilling has stopped for the winter, so Mallon has a chance to install a sensitive earthquake detector at the bottom and leave it there for a few months.
Slowly, slowly.
A steel A-frame tower straddles the hole. Elon Shalev from Mallon's lab is wrestling with a giant pulley, which will help guide a steel cable down the hole.
Hit it slowly now.
You can hear tension in their voices as the team prepares the instruments that will be lowered down into the earth. One false move now can mean disaster. Drop something down the hole and you'll probably never see it again. But Mallon says there is a big payoff for all this work.
Because the earthquakes take place 1.5, 2 miles underground or more, you want to be able to get close enough to them that you're actually observing details of the failure of the earthquake system.
That rock failure is the inevitable consequence of continental drift. Los Angeles is creeping toward San Francisco at the speed your fingernails grow, an inch or two a year on average. So eventually, something has to give. Big earthquakes are the most obvious result, but the Earth is also constantly shifting and producing tiny earthquakes deep underground. Mallon's instrument is designed to eavesdrop on those small quakes to detect high-pitched seismic waves that never reach the surface.
We like to listen to the earthquake song in the upper octaves, and we think that will tell us more about the sort of mechanism that's producing them and the manner in which the ground is breaking.
In order for the seismometer to hear these faint sounds, it needs to hold very still once it reaches its destination. So it's equipped with an arm that, on command, will extend outward and brace the device the way a rock climber jams himself into a crevice. Just before the rig is supposed to go down the hole, Mallon's team checks out this vital piece of hardware. They do not look happy.
It's almost 9. Ouch. Wait a minute. Where's Peter?
Alon Shalev drops his tape measure in disbelief. The arm extends out 8.5 inches, but the hole is 8.6 inches across. Technician Nick Aaron shakes his head.
I wouldn't run it.
The team starts to concoct dubious workarounds. Aaron wanders over to one of the packing crates, rummages around, and pulls out a longer steel arm.
That'll work.
Okay. Well, that was a close one.
By now, though, the sun is too close to the horizon to finish the job today, so the team retreats to its hotel down the coast. They'll try again tomorrow. This project is a joint effort spearheaded by scientists at Stanford University and the U.S. Geological Survey. When they planned the drilling project a few years ago, they had hoped that the next big earthquake at Parkfield would kindly wait until they were all the way to the fault. But no. On September 28th, another instrument down the partially completed hole recorded the ground-rocking 6.0 quake. This is the sound of the quake, sped up a bit to make it more audible. And remember, that was just one of many dozens of instruments at Parkfield recording the quake. Bill Ellsworth from the U.S. Geological Survey says nobody has recorded a single earthquake in greater detail, ever.
We got a huge haul in terms of the shaking of the ground. That's going to be the big scientific legacy of this earthquake, I think, is going to be our ability to better understand how the high-frequency waves that knock down buildings are generated during earthquakes.
But Ellsworth says there were absolutely no warning signs that this quake was going to happen, no broken irrigation pipes or even more subtle clues.
Some might say, well, that part of the experiment wasn't successful. I look at it the other way, that we were successful in showing that none of the commonly thought about precursors occurred before this earthquake.
No foreshocks or electrical pulses. Nothing fishy happening in water wells. No magnetic anomalies. Ellsworth says, frankly, earthquakes may just never be predictable. Or maybe the clues are still more subtle. That's one motivation for drilling deeper into the San Andreas. The next morning, Peter Mallon and his team gather once again at the steel tower that straddles the hole. First, the tower's position over the hole is fine-tuned with a sledgehammer and a backhoe. And they're ready to try again. The trick is to assemble the instrument in pieces at the top of the hole.
Wiggle it at the top, Peter.
Finally, the big moment.
Jim, is everything set for us to start lowering?
Yeah. Okay, lower it down.
A mammoth winch 90 feet away starts to spool out steel cable, and the instrument slips into the darkness. A look of relief comes slowly to Peter Mallon's face.
There we go. On our way to Middle Earth.
This instrument will sit near the bottom of this hole throughout the winter and listen. Richard Harris, NPR News.